Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Change Your Mind podcast, where we explore personal development, spirituality, and science. I'm your host, Chris Ashley. Really excited for today's episode. We're going to talk about divine duality. First, a couple of quick announcements, though. Head over to the links in the show notes. You're going to find a wealth of information there. You're going to find links for my amazing guest, of course. Also, you'll find a link to my book, Change Your Mind to Change Your Reality. It was endorsed by Bob Doyle, Marcy Shimoff, Michael Beckwith, all from The Secret, Anita Morjani, John Gray. Really great book. Just so grateful to put it out there into the world. You're also going to find links to my courses, to free downloads, to my free live masterclass. And as always, this podcast is part of the Los Angeles Tribune Podcast Network, where we are big into personal development. We have so many amazing events coming up, so be sure to check us out. Oh yeah, you'll also find a link to sponsor the podcast if you want to get some advertising up here. All right.
Hi, I'm Chris. When I was younger, I went through trauma that caused me to feel broken and lost. But my life changed after I had a spiritual awakening. Since then, I've dedicated my life to studying and learning from masters all around the world that have helped me to create a life of fulfillment and abundance beyond my wildest dreams. Now I'm dedicated to sharing everything I've learned so that you don't have to suffer for decades like I did. I've seen people's lives completely transform, and I share it all right here.
So let's get right into it. With me today, I have Anaya Oakroot. So Anaya is the founder of Oakroot Spiritual Academy, and her mission is to empower individuals to embrace their divine duality and navigate the interconnectedness of all aspects of existence. Through simple yet powerful tools, she guides participants to shift inner and outer separations, fostering harmony within and between individuals. So welcome, Anaya. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you so much, Chris. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah. And where are you joining from, by the way?
From Sweden.
Amazing. Isn't it amazing the world we live in where we can have a conversation and from California to Sweden? And
I love it. And it's really thanks to the pandemic that everything just opened up. All the courses, we can take courses for no money, and everyone are able to join and to develop in their own pace in a new way.
It's so true. Like during the pandemic, I was like, something good has to come of this. And I feel like there were two different types of people during the pandemic. There were the people like myself, and I imagine you too, where it's like, oh my God, I have all this free time. I'm going to take every course, right? I'm going to like read every book. I'm going to learn all I can. And then, you know, do every project. And then, you know, I think other people got really caught in the heaviness of it. Would you kind of agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I wrote the book, This Creative Existence, Unfolding a New Conscious World. And from there, I saw already 2012 how everything will shift. So when the pandemic came, I just understood that this is the path that it took, you know, but I knew that the old paradigm would just crack. And I didn't know the way, but for me, I was so prepared when it came.
Yeah. Do you feel like all of the unrest and upheaval that's going on in the world right now is kind of the old paradigm falling away so that there's room for the new? You feel that way?
Yeah. Totally. Yes. And I also, it's so obvious that you know, everything is going more etheric. It's more and more things that we see, that we use, are out of the scene. It's not that that we can materialize everything. We are lots more in the etheric. And because of that, the heightened energy on Earth is taking also all shit, or what you say, everything that was in out of balance also come up to the surface. And it's crucial time. It's really, and cruel times. But it's the way evolution will come, and there are a very beautiful spot beyond it about what we can create from our human creativity that we didn't use in the old paradigm.
Yeah, it's an exciting time to be alive, for sure. Okay, so I just had to ask you all that, but I always start my podcast the same way. And that is by asking my guests to share their origin story. So what is it? Tell us your story. What put you on this path of sharing divine duality with the world?
Well, already when I was very, very small, I had such a strong inner voice that told me what's my path. And it's, I created a life that never was the same as my surrounding. So when I was five, I knew that I am an artist. I wasn't that good, but I knew that if I wouldn't be an artist, I wouldn't be surviving. So I gone through school in a very different way. I just amused school when I amused it, and gone for the wonder of all the educations, and not at all to get the degrees. And when I was 11, I started to play tennis, and it's like I can't understand things before it's metaphysical. So the first half year, I didn't understand anything. It's like I couldn't hit the ball or anything. And after half a year, it come like a click, and I got it all. So already when I was 14, I was headhunted as a tennis coach for people in my own age, about, you know, just little, some years younger. And then when I passed, you know, the 12 year of school, I already was having my all the money I needed from being a tennis coach, and I could go out and just experience and exploring the arts by not going by school. And I had so many exhibitions and different people wanted me to do the things for them. So it's just developed by itself. And all what I learned from the tennis was so important for my art, and what I did in the art was so important for communicate with my pupil, with the ones that I taught. So there is a start of divine duality, that everything, because I was so attracted in both spaces, it's like the wonder of life created a middle spot between the two, and it created success in the both. So it's because I lived with wonder as my breath. I think, you know, the duality didn't come like counterparts that didn't attract each other, but really worked as to show something in the middle, in the liminal space, that was so much richer. And now when I'm older, well, I passed, you know, so many different life issues with working with in so many spaces as an artist and as a creator. But now, later on in my life, I just encountered how yin yang energy work together. I mean, the opposites, and all life, how we can live, it's exactly a copy of how one man and one woman loving each other, creating a child. You know, it's comes spirit in the between, and it comes a new spirit. It's not the one or the other. It comes something new. And when we work with different subjects and are in the wonder of them, and they have attraction, we don't have to even, you know, mix them together, but having the attraction when we are doing something, and when we are doing something else, the other is coming and infusing the first one all the time. So this is the energy that actually creates reality around us.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. And that's really beautiful what you were saying about like the child comes through and it's the spirit and it's something new. So is it about living in your joy and your passion and the present moment? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yes, it is. And it's about not judging things as good or bad, but really accept things as they are and see the film and see the reality, because then we don't put ourselves in a small box and follow rules from outside. So actually why we don't see this is because our tradition have taught us everything from outside. We have not get there or any information from the inside to listen from inside. We have neglected the body as something that is ugly or not working well, or instead of being this incredible intelligence that can tell us what's right and wrong for us and go our path and really be creating our own lives.
Yeah, you're making me think of how we all see things through our own lens, right? And we get so caught up in this like earthly reality where there's something, the truth is so different than what our perception tells us. Is that kind of it too?
Yeah, it's like we have been taught reality from media, from school, and we have listened from outside, and the cultures have tried to make us form into a structure to please the structure to work well. And if we were more listening from inside and do what we really feel from our inner call, what we should do, actually we will be so much more productive, and we will be so much more loving to each other, and we will just make everyone thrive from the other. We will have a totally other reality. And because I did so all my life, I also know that it works. We don't have to be worried not to fit in, or we don't have to be worried to follow our deep knowing from inside. We are just taught that it's dangerous to be different. But everyone actually is a puzzle to the other. So when we follow our inner, we start to be in synchronicity with life around us. And we attract the people that works for us instead of people that makes us, vibrate in a lower state. So it's just to live fully, actually.
I really appreciate everything you're saying. And I mean, I totally agree, right? Like when you're living your true purpose and from your heart and you're in the moment, of course you're going to attract higher vibration things, right? And it's going to keep coming to you, and you're going with this flow. A lot of people have a hard time getting there, and they care about what other people think, right? And and it's so much easier said than done for a lot of people. So what kind of advice do you have for people to live this way and to not care what people think and to really follow their true passion?
Well, we need to be a little courageous, we can do it in a place where we don't, where it's not like we miss all our life that we love, but we can just try to do things really our own way in a place that we feel it's safe to do it, and see how things change around us, and see how we are blossoming, and see how people around us are putting new questions towards us, making us growing in our wisdom and our joy. And we see that some people will fall off, but others will come. As always, when we let go of something, we get space for something new. So it is about, yeah, it's about trust. I think all of, you know, our collective, what we have been taught is that we are thrown out from paradise, and that we should look up to a God or leaders or others. And it's like we are in split from the divine. And this caused us to be afraid of being isolated, afraid of being, you know, in a place where we can't survive, or not being loved, or anything that we feel it's necessary. But actually, if we see how duality actually is an expansion of oneness, we are all always in connection. And when we are ourselves, when we are in the spirit that our inner is calling, we are totally in connection with Source. And then Source will make us also understand other people better, and we will be in synchronicity with everything, instead of trying to be someone that we are not, and trying to fulfill companies, you know, need to produce in one way that actually doesn't work for us, because we are not productive in this state.
Yeah, I that's just, that's so beautiful. I love that answer. And I think that you're right that fear holds a lot of people back. And it's fear of not being loved, fear of not being worthy enough, fear of the judgments of others. And you said something interesting. You said, maybe I'm not saying it exactly correctly, but you said duality is an expansion of oneness. So talk to me about that, because that's a really interesting statement.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's the big difference from what we have been taught. Mm. So instead of a split, it's an expansion. If we see that, for me, I see that it as a darkness was the first thing. It's not like light is the most important thing, because the womb and everything, the cosmos, the void is the blackness that holds everything in place, and it's pure potential. And if we see how this evolves from eons of time to start to get consciousness in it, you know, it evolved and become consciousness that it's light. And then the light and the darkness, it's really two counterparts that feed each other. And then it's an expansion of oneness, because oneness is the source energy. And when it's expanded to come into duality, it's an interplay of reality, creating reality. And we create reality every second with our mind and our heart and our body, with our emotions and our thoughts and actions. We create reality. And if we see it as an expansion, we can really see how we interact with potential around us and within us, to be in a state of wonder and experience the joy of being here on Earth, seeing the beauty around us, seeing everything that really works, makes us also expand our activities. And within that, we are so much more powerful than we ever can think about in the old paradigm.
Yeah, thank you for that too. And you're making me think of quantum physics. We were talking really quick before we press play about how, you know, I love backing everything up with science. And quantum physics kind of says a little bit of what you're saying, right? That there's this every possibility, this realm, this cloud of possibilities. And any given reality can be true. You just kind of have to choose what you want using the law of attraction or manifesting from this kind of cloud of possibilities. And it can go any way you want. So if you're living in fear, you're going to choose those more darker aspects. If you're living in joy and wonder, you're going to attract that. And that's the path that kind of opens up before you. How do you feel about that? Is that kind of...
Yeah. Yeah, it's not only attract, because absolutely we attract, but it's also that when we love something, we see the potentials. If we are in fear, we are contracting ourselves, and it's like we take away our power, and from there we can't see any potential. We just see what can be dangerous for us. So we can't explore life if we live in fear.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Like every time you say something, I'm like, yeah, because I love the way that you're putting things. And I'm just thinking about experiences in my own life and people I know. And, you know, I know people who walk outside and they're thinking about every potential threat. Right. Mm. And they're living a very different life than the people who are noticing the beauty everywhere, right? Or noticing the possibilities. And I also think it goes for people, right? You can see when you meet someone, you can see the negative side of someone or what you perceive as negative. You can or you can see the positive and the beautiful side and know that you're connected in some way. So we really are shaping our reality, right?
Yeah, we do. And when we meet someone and feel and start to connect with the mutual thing, like we all have a heart, we all have, you know, things in common. And if we start with seeing what we have in common, we can expand from there. And there the differences start to make life more colorful for the other, and we start to associate and we start to get ideas from the one that is not like us. But if we start with what is in common, we start with, you know, the trust, we start to feel relaxed, and then the differences are the ones that really develop us.
Yeah. And I think that's such a beautiful lesson for everyone, right? To, when you meet someone, know that, I love that. We all have a heart. We're all human. Everyone's going through this human experience, right? Everyone goes through periods of darkness. Everyone goes through periods of light. So is this what you mean by divine duality? That there's this darkness and this light, and we're just kind of always navigating this path between them, and reality is really neither light nor dark?
Yes, this is, you know, in the wide view of life for me, but it's also a healing tool. So if we integrate our mind, heart, and body, then we are one intelligence, you know, instead of having different energies coming from the heart, different ideas from the heart and the body and the mind. It's the core importance to be a happy person and to be coherent in our decisions and in our life. And when we are first doing that, we can do it through meditation or just doing it by practice in different ways. And then if we take a counterpart, as you know, something I maybe feel guilt about or shame about, I can put it in my left palm, and then in the other palm I can put forgiveness, and put them with the palms facing each other, 1 meter away from each other, and let them meet at the heart in very, very slow pace, and you will see what will happen. Because when we do it, actually, if we don't force it, it's really going by itself. All the time where it stops a little bit. It's a shadow or something of the guilt that is cleaned up. And when we, because light is always winning over the darkness. So when we come to the middle, we have actually cleared some of the issues that we are carrying that we don't know about. All the things that we are not mentally understanding that we are carrying, but we have some emotions that is not good. We can put it, the counterpart, the healing counterpart, and get in peace. And there we come into oneness. And if we widen them again, we get free. Then we are free to work in the space that have freed from the healing. So actually, so it's a tool also. And there are different tools that I use in Divine Duality. But the main thing is to understand the word in a new way. Because then we also can accept things that we, you know, that we feel this is cruel or this is bad. But we can, it's like we don't interact with fear to things. And then because we don't interact in fear, we are not, you know, fueling what is happening in the world. If we are fueling what's really there in attraction, that is what we create around us.
I'm so glad you said, well, first of all, that tool was really cool. I did it with you and I got like serious goosebumps when my hands touched. And then when you said you separate them and you're free, I was like, yes. It's like a feeling of expansion. So thank you for sharing that. And I really am glad that you brought up this whole idea of, you know, not judging and not living in fear. And because I know that you also worked in a refugee camp, and that's what I was going to bring up, is that you've also experienced like working with people with severe traumas, right? And it's so easy to get caught up in those traumas, right? Or it's so easy to get caught up in victimhood or blaming or this fear and this spiraling, right? So how do we bring this duality, this divine duality into our lives? How do we look at things through this other lens where we understand that when we go down that hole, we're going to just create more of it? That's where I wanted to go with this. Thank you. I knew if I kept going, it would come back. I have a 6.5-month-old and did not sleep well last night. I'll just say that. But like, how do we not get caught up in that, right? Because everyone has a story. Everyone goes through difficult times. Some are more difficult than others. And so many people get wrapped up in these stories.
Yes. Well, first of all, it's a very, very good example to use the refugee camp that I owned. So I could build it up in my own way.
You owned it?
Yeah, I owned it.
I didn't know you owned it. I thought you... Okay. Yeah.
So in 4 years, but actually before that, I lived myself with hidden address in 10 years with a small daughter from between she was 2.5 and 13. So we had a very dangerous father to her, or I married a man that was very dangerous. So I learned so much about to uncord myself from him, and that was my survival. Instead of going into reaction, I discorded me from this man, and then he continued with other things to interfere with because there were no energy from me. So I had this experience, and it was a very valuable one when I had a refugee camp, because they were in about the same situation, but in another, you know, in another frame, but about the same. So when I opened the camp, it was for between 84 persons and 135. And they were from 14, about 14 different countries and so many different religions. And when I built it up, I just had, you know, very few but very clear rules. First of all, I treated everyone the same. hug them, you know, really give them the feeling that I am there for them. And I had really exact borders for what is okay and what is not okay. And I helped them with the facilities that they need for, you know, paying it to the bank and to call the doctor and helping them with apartments when I could and like that. And I actually, I played so much with the kids. So in the camp, you know, there were in this reception where I was, there were always kids playing and painting, and you know, everyone was feeling that this is the future. This is the future, and they are happy. So it's something that made them, because they were from a place that a war place, they had so much suffer inside, so they have stopped to fight with each other. And because I made it like a home, like a family, and everyone, they also had their own kitchen to make things, but their food, but they were also you know, a catering facility in the camp. So actually, because we didn't have any language that we could speak real, because they came from mostly Syria and inner Africa, and you know, well, Ukraine and lots of Arabic countries and different other countries as well. But anyway, when I met them, I had to listen to them clearly with the heart, because otherwise I couldn't understand at all what they tried to say to me. And we had to look into each other's eyes, and they see that I really was there listening to them. And it makes such a big trust in the camp. So every time when they, you know, they come and go people all the time, always when they come anew, the old ones were coming and helping them with the bags into their rooms and make them into the family, because this was their life and they needed to have it safe. So everyone was caring so much about to keep it okay. So actually, this little frame was enough to make it a good place for everyone and to listen to each other. And we had Swedish lessons in the cellar, you know, for them like that. Yeah.
Wow, what a beautiful and powerful experience and an amazing thing that you did. And I love that you said you had certain rules, and I was like, okay, what are her rules? And the first one is you hugged everyone.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I just got goosebumps saying that again. And I got
yes, everything, you know, and everyone was equal. No one had any difference from the other, and that's so important.
Yeah, and I love that you said sometimes you couldn't always understand them, but if you looked into their eyes and you felt their energy with your heart and you sent love to them, like, you made them feel seen and safe and heard, and that was enough.
Yeah.
And what a powerful lesson in how we should, again, interact with everyone that we meet, right? Because like you've said something so simple, you're like, this is their life and they just want to feel safe. And I think that that's universal for everyone, whether they're in a refugee camp or not. Everyone wants to feel safe and secure and loved and seen and heard, right? Like that's really at a foundational level what people need and want.
Yeah, sometimes the language is a barrier, because we start to speak around the subjects, but when we don't have a language, we really have to be there for each other. If you have been in a silent retreat and sit and eat in front of someone that you don't know, you and the texture in the mouth of the food is so so vivid because the silence inside, and you see the other and you get such a connection, and you don't speak at all. It's so interesting.
that's really amazing. And like, I've done things where like you just look into someone's eyes, like the eye gazing, that's really powerful too, right? Mm. When you really just take that time, because how often do we really look into someone's eyes in silence, right? Mm. And there's just such depth of soul inside of everyone's eyes. Like I told you, I have a 6.5-month-old, and it's him and I make such like long gazing eye contact. And there's just like, it's so pure and there's so much wonder. And it's like, he hasn't been tainted by judgment or criticisms or anything. And it's like, wow, every single person on this earth was just like him at one point.
Mm.
Right?
They so were, it is.
Yeah. It's like, we were all that baby that's just innocent and just loving. And he just wants love and attention. That's what he wants. Yeah.
It's so with everything, you know, if we have some spot that we have didn't have accept in ourselves, and we have pain of maybe of guilt or something, if we just go into this pain, if we have some suffer, psychological suffer or physiological, and we go in there and just send our peace and love to it, and it's seen, and we send our time to it, actually the suffer start to evaporate.
Yeah, that's interesting. It makes me think of like really just going into it rather than just like pushing it away.
Yes, it's a pushing away that makes us suffer.
Mm.
And it's all in the duality that we have inverted before. It's because we're pushing away things. You know what happens when we don't like something? It's so interesting. Because if you think about something that you don't like, first of all, you make it taboo to go there yourself, to be like that yourself. And in the same time, you make a cord of energy connection to that thing with you're not liking it. So you both have a cord and a taboo to come there. So you really create suffer with everything that we, when we don't like something and put it, you know, our attention to it, that we say, I don't like that. We make this double connection, this split and the connection in the same time.
Wow. You just blew my mind, because I think about that with, again, I keep bringing it back to parenting because that's my world right now. But it's like, there are certain ways that I was raised or relationships that I've had that I'm like, I don't want to do that with my son, right? Like I adamantly don't want to be that way. But maybe because of what you just said, I'm thinking about it, I'm like, maybe because I'm focused on it, I'm like creating that cord. To it.
Right, you do.
So what is that?
You know, it's a reaction. If we go into reaction to something, we create a negative cord, an inverted energy to it.
So what does that negative cord and inverted energy do?
Well, it makes us connected to something that we don't want to reach, and we are there all the time, and we have taboo to go there. We are afraid of being anything like what it is because it's a taboo. And in the same time, we have a string of this energy inside us. You know, we can make similarities with our emotions. It's like a sea. If we see the ocean, a sea, and we have a frequency in that sea, we attract everything that has the same frequency. All the lakes is just ringing in of the same frequency that we don't want to attract.
I mean, it makes sense, because whatever you're focusing on, you're going to attract. And even if you're focusing on all the positive things, there's still some part of you that's like, I just don't want to do that other negative thing. Like, you're still focusing on it.
Yeah. And if you're just saying, oh, this is positive, but you don't feel it, it's also a contradiction that is not working. Actually, we need to feel it. So the first thing is to accept things as they are, and then we are free to see, and then we have potential to go into what we feel we have wonder about, what's really is magic, and then we go there, and there it's what creates the field for us.
So it's about not having judgment, not labeling things as good or bad, and just following where you're pulled to. Do I have that right?
Exactly. Yes, okay. Absolutely. And it's totally like that. And it's, you know, it's accepting thing is not, you know, if I see the father of my daughter where we lived for hidden dress, of course I didn't accept his abusiveness, what he created and the word that he did. I didn't accept it, but I accept to see that this is the reality. I didn't accept that this is, but I accept that, okay, this is the reality. It's not like I tried to hide from seeing it, and I didn't go into reaction to it. I just say, okay, this is the reality, and this is not me. And then I could go my way. So it's not accepting everything as you know, but it's not labeling it. It's accepting reality and see it, just seeing it.
Yeah, I like that distinction because it's not spiritual bypassing, right?
No.
And it brings me back to kind of what I asked before when we were talking about the refugee camp, like, and what we were talking about when we first started this, there's so much upheaval going on in the world and everyone has been through trauma and everyone has a story and people get so weighed down, they get so sucked into their own story. And the spiritual community is like, you know, don't focus on what you don't want to attract. And everyone's knee-jerk reaction to that is, but there's a war in Ukraine and there's a war in the Middle East and all these terrible things. Like, I can't just hide my head in the sand. So, like, bring everything you just said to that. Like, what do you tell those people?
Yeah, you see that this exists. But don't make a cord to it. Don't make a cord to it. It's like, accept that this is what is. And I love this thing. And then I do what I love. And I do what I can here. I can do lots of things around me. And don't be victimized, because victimized is also getting into the triangle of accusing victim and perpetrator. So then we are in the triangle, running in the outside of it and being a part of the drama. So just seeing everything as it is and say, okay, this is what is happening now. This is the reality now. And what can I do in this reality?
Yeah, and I like that because it's, you know, I was listening to another spiritual teacher talking about something similar, and I like what she said. She was like, okay, like, let's say you live in the US and you're talking about like the Gaza situation. Like, you can get sucked into it and you can write hateful posts on Facebook and you can protest and you can get super wrapped up, but like, does that affect your world right now? And if you get wrapped up in it, it's going to affect your world right now, right? But if you want to do something and if it does affect your world, like, if you have, like, I have a bunch of family over there, that's just it's, you can like do things to help those people, but you don't have to get like attached to the drama and the negativity of it.
Exactly. You can do so many good things, but you can't see them if you have a cord to the drama. then you can't do anything. So it's really to be there and to be able to do something that is good, you need to be without reaction, and also to understand that there are so many realities. Everyone had playing out their reality. I had such a fantastic teacher in the school when I was about 17, 18, and he was our history teacher, and he was exactly talking about Israel and in the Gaza conflict that has been for so long time. So first he was telling, I don't remember which one, but he was just telling everything to make us come into how bad the other was, you know, how bad the Palestine was, or the Israeli, I don't know which one. Anyway, and how much they suffered. The Israeli was suffering so much. Their land that they have made this, it was just, desert, and they made it all vegetables growing, and everything was, they did a water system, and he was saying. And then he asked one question, and one in the class was raising the hand and said the right answer from what he had said, you know, to say, okay, this is my, to say something that he was really judging, and then say, why? And then he took the Palestine way of what they have been through. And everyone was walking out of this classroom and understood that there were two really different realities, and they were as real, and we could not judge one of the other.
That's so powerful. And I mean, there's like an infinite number of realities, right? Like you
exactly.
It's like you can live next door to someone and live in a different reality.
Yeah.
And I heard this amazing definition of empathy, and it's exactly what you just said. It's not judging anyone else's reality and knowing that it's just as valid as your own.
Right.
And I'm like, wow, what a cool definition of empathy.
And everyone has a different reality, even though your partner or everyone has. We think that we're going in this, walking around in the same world, but we are creating this reality inside ourselves. And I'm working in different worlds and think that we are living in the same.
Totally. And even, isn't it like even like your own reality about yourself, like the way you view yourself, like every person you know views you a different way.
Yeah.
It's like, and then it's like, how do we even coexist? Like, it's amazing. Like, it's amazing that we coexist as well as we do, right?
And if we come back then to being ourselves from inside, then when we live from inside, actually, we have connections from to everything, because we have source. We come from the same spot, and if we are ourselves and live from inside, we start to understand others so much more than if we try to be as them, because we can't relate to anything if we are not ourselves, if we are not authentic.
Yeah, absolutely, because you see that they're just like you. Okay, so we're running out of time, but okay, given all of this, you know, everything we talked about, like, I'm going to ask you a crazy question. Like, what do you think our purpose is here on Earth?
Well, to have joy, to amuse, being in a three-dimensional world that we have all the senses of smell, touch, sexuality, taste, and to explore 3D. That's what I feel is the purpose, actually.
I love it. This has been so incredible, just illuminating and insightful, and I just love the way that you phrase things, and it I I just appreciate you so much and your time, and I'm sure listeners are going to love this too. And I'm sure listeners want to know how they can get in touch with you, where they can follow you, what you're up to. So if you wouldn't mind sharing for the last couple minutes.
Chris, thank you so much for being here with you and you all. Yes, you can find me in oakrootspiritualacademy.com, where I have retreats. I have one-on-one sessions, healing sessions, because healing is the path to come to freedom. We have so many different filters around us, from genetic, from our life, this lifetime, and from other lifetimes. We have so different energies surrounding us that makes us unfree. So this is the most creative thing we can do is to heal and to go into more clearly, go inside ourselves. So you can find my three books there as well. It's The Creative Existence, Unfolding a New Conscious World or Dream State, where you create your life, or Unfolding, Awakening to Pure Potential. So there are several different ways to commune with me, but just going into the site and you have a free discovery session and we just meet. And I also work as a vocal sound healer. So it's one of the tools that I feel is very, very powerful, because it can heal physical pain. And yeah, so much what we can do with our voice, actually.
Okay, we have like 1 minute left, but I have to ask you about the sound healing, because that's amazing. Like, what do you do in your sound healing sessions with people?
I scan the body with undertones, and when they come to a place where the undertones can't come through, I know there's a spot where there's no circulation, and then I can go into that spot and go with overtones or undertones. And when it's a running system again, I know that it works. And then I see different spots, how they correlate with each other and what they mean with the meridians and also the organs and the tissue of the body. It's so much that we can do with the voice. But also I use crystal singing bowls and, you know, shamanic tools and different tools to just make the body in resonance.
That's amazing. That's really, really amazing. And you have to do that in person, I'm assuming, right? You can't do that virtually.
I do it virtually as well.
You do it virtually. How do you do it virtually with people?
Actually, we are connected by, everything is connected in this world. So if I just connect to you, I can do it. You can even be asleep and don't hear it, and I can do it on you. But of course, you don't get the wonderful feeling of being bathing in the tunes from the crystal bowls and like that. But with the sound, with my vocal sound, I can do it.
That's amazing.
In any space. Yeah.
That's amazing. Awesome. Well, this has been such a pleasure. I really appreciate you taking the time. Listeners, if this resonated with you and there's someone in your life you think would love it, please send it to them. I think we could all use a little healing. I think everyone could benefit from this conversation. So like, comment, share, subscribe. I will see you all next time. Anaya, thank you so much. Have a beautiful rest of your day, everyone.